Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. The Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. 1 hour from now, we're going to let you know about the latest Boomer and Geo event. The first big event in 2024 that we will be doing. Details on that. If you've been following the show, you could probably guess what it's going to be. As we have been working on another large event, so we're going to tell you a time, we're going to tell you a date, we're going to tell you a venue, we're going to give you some details on
it. It's Boomer and Geo Live.
Ah, wait a second, Eddie, you weren't supposed to do that. But there will be more details coming up in just about an hour from now. Now, you heard Al almost say it's Boomer and Geo Live there. The last Boomer and Geo Live was at the Paramount, the holiday edition, where we hired a little person named Scott who played Little Boomer. So we surprised you with Little Boomer, and he popped out of the fireplace wearing a Bengals number 7 jersey. He had a blonde wig on. He was carrying a Bengals helmet, and he became the star of the show. The premise was we had tried to clone Boomer for this show just in case you got too drunk again and we'd have another Boomer and we messed up the cloning and then little Boomer popped out. So I found out after that a friend of mine, Mark Waletsky, who lives in Bayshore, has hired little Boomer every year for the past several years to be a leprechaun in his St. Patrick's Day party. So once I found that out, I was like, I had never been to this party. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning in Bayshore on the day that they have the Bayshore St. Patty's Day parade. So I was like, well, I have to go now. I mean, not only do I have a friend who is hosting this party, but now Little Boomer is going to be there, Scott. So I show up at the party. Scott, who drives himself, it's amazing. So he drives himself from Queens out to Bayshore. He's got all the different pedals and stuff, and I give him so much credit. He had a whole bunch of gigs. So he could only be there from 10 to 11. So Scott pulls into the driveway. He's got the leprechaun outfit on. He's honking the horn. And there I was to greet him. He was all excited to see me there. He wasn't sure if I was going to be there. And then me and him were hanging out, talking sports the whole time. And I told him, I was like, Scott, you got to get out there and earn your money, man. What are you doing? But he goes to me, he goes, test me. I know baseball numbers like you wouldn't believe. Like, I know baseball numbers. So then picture me and Scott in this leprechaun outfit and me going, Kevin McReynolds, and him going, 22. And this went on for like 15 minutes. And I finally stumped him on Graham Lloyd on the Mets.
Graham Lloyd? Oh, my God. So let me ask you a question.
17 was
it. So his appearance is to be a leprechaun at a St. Patty's Day party.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there talking sports with you.
He was.
I mean, did your buddy get mad at you?
No. No, he was not. No, I mean, he was there and he was taking pictures and stuff. But most of the time he was sitting there talking to me. And I said, listen, Scott, you got to get out there. So then they handed him some Jello shots to pass around to people. So this party, not only does Scott show up as a leprechaun, they have a full-blown petting zoo that he has come in. And you think, for kids? No. For adults. So all of a sudden, you know, there's Scott, his leprechaun helmet going, hurt, hurt, honking the horn, doing the whole thing. And then this truck shows up, and out comes this giant hairy cow, six goats, an alpaca, chickens. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And the alpacas in the house, they put a... Here you go. There's me, Scott.
Yep.
And his name's Diddy, also known as Mark Walewski. This is his party. And I've got other stuff I could say. I probably should have sent more to Stephen Waldron. But yeah, the alpaca was in the house. It was unbelievable.
The alpaca didn't poop in the house.
No, it did not. No, it did not. Live music, guy playing a guitar. I mean, it was just... It was something. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. I was there from 9 to 11 in the morning, and then I brought you know Sal Graziano, this guy. All he just sees Sayville. He does, and I brought him into this world. I think he was scared. Like I think he was legitimately scared. But anyway, it was good to see Scott, also known as Little Boomer, and he had multiple gigs. He had to go from there over to Mulcahy's afterwards, and continue to be. A leprechaun.
Hey,
over there.
Made some money, man. Good for him.
He's grinding.
Yes, he is.
Guy's absolutely grinding. So anyway, at 8 a.m., live at 8 a.m., we'll give you the details on the next big Boomer and Geo event. Where is it going to be? Are we going back to Long Island? Are we going to Jersey? Are we going to Connecticut?
With cheese.
Maybe it's going to be...
With what?
With cheese.
Maybe it's going to be a destination. Maybe it's going to be down in some warm weather climate. Maybe we're going to the Bahamas. Who knows? You just don't know where this next Boomer and Geo event is going to be, and we'll find out coming up at 8 a.m. Everybody else will find out. Of course, we know, and all that good stuff. All right, so this is the tampering period. Starts at 12 p.m. today. The Giants are going to be doing lots of stuff, I would imagine, as they continue to rebuild their roster. But what the hell are the Jets going to do, really, is the question. How much are they going to tweak the roster that they have now? Because, obviously, their entire team is based on the fact of Aaron Rodgers being healthy and playing well, and they felt like they had the team last year, obviously, outside of the backup quarterback. But what are the things they're going to need to do? I think right off the bat, you think about... adding another weapon at wide receiver. That's been talked about a ton. Obviously, more talent, and then you keep taking shots on goal with the offensive line. Going to have to do that both in the draft and in free agency. And, you know, you got to think about retaining some of your guys as well. But, I mean, do you see the Jets making that splash move this offseason where you're like, man, like that put them over the top?
No, I think their splash move was last offseason, which unfortunately didn't work itself out. But I do agree with you and every other Jet fan out there that this offensive line has got to be taken care of. I'd also like to see them try to keep Bryce Huff. I don't know if they'll be able to do that. But, you know, the problem with offensive linemen, especially guys, big tackles, if they're on the list, because everybody needs tackles. If they're on the free agent list, there's something wrong with them. They've had injury problems over the years. They have been unable to get on the field and stay on the field. And I think you got to do your due diligence. And it's not just about signing a name. It's about signing a guy that you know that is going to play and is going to be there. And, you know, when you look at the list of free agents and the opportunities there, you know, a number of these guys are coming off of injuries. And I think you got to be really careful about spending the money on guys that don't end up showing up to play, not due because they don't want to play. It's just simply because they're coming off of injury and have a injury history. So that would be something that when I'm going through free agency, that's what I'm looking at. I'm also looking at, you know, I'm looking for bargains. There's no question about that. There are certain players that are hitting it at the right time that, like Kirk Cousins, that's not going to be a bargain.
No.
That is not going to be a bargain. That's going to be an all-out. And, you know, good for Kirk Cousins because I don't think there's any other player in the league that I can think of. Maybe to some extent Baker Mayfield, but he was a first overall draft pick. Kirk Cousins bet on himself every single time. And he's coming off an Achilles right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota is supposedly trying to retain him.
Yeah, I...
So you got to believe that it's going to be north of $45 million a year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, you know, have your cake and eat it too with them. I think that they probably want to bring him back for a year or two and then draft a guy, and that would be great. But I also think that Kirk Cousins is like, I don't want to have to deal with that, man. Like, I want to go somewhere.
Well, Raheem Morris is a new coach.
Yeah.
New place, young and up-and-coming team, a fast team playing down there in Atlanta. I think that, you know, that would be a team that would go all in on a guy because they have all this young talent down there, and they just want a legitimate quarterback to see if he can get the most out of them. And they probably feel like they have a real shot at winning that division.
Yeah, I mean, they should. Anybody should feel like they have a real shot at winning that division because it stinks generally.
Right, and for him, I mean, you know, he's not going, there's nobody in the AFC he's going to go to. He's staying in the NFC, and he should stay in the NFC.
Yes, and I think that him, as I mentioned before, him coming off an Achilles, you don't have to worry about him coming in out of shape or he didn't do enough rehab. This guy's going to be in shape. He's going to be fine. He's going to be dedicated. He also probably doesn't want to learn another offense if he doesn't have to, but wherever they guarantee him the most money over the most amount of years, he's going to go to because he's earned that.
I could see Atlanta being all in here because of where their draft status is and because, you know, they've been so bad for the last few years, ever since, they came out of that Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. They just have not regained their footing. And he would give them stability at quarterback. There is no question about that. So I could see them going all in, a big number for him, lots of guaranteed money, and at least a three-year deal.
And that could be something that happens today. We could find out today that is going down.
His agent's been on the phone. You know that.
Well, without a doubt.
And all of a sudden, Minnesota's back in the mix. If we would have talked about this, I don't know, 4 months ago, after the injury had happened and everything, you would have said his time is done there.
Yeah, well, that's the way I felt. But I also think that they're trying to trade up and they're not getting what they want.
Well, the other thing really you have to sit here and wonder about is like, okay, with Mac Jones going for a sixth-round draft pick, I mean, what is Zach Wilson worth?
Nothing. They're not going to be able to trade him.
Can the Bears legitimately trade Justin Fields now for at least two draft picks?
Maybe like a fourth and a third next year or something, but nothing more than that. I mean, there's no way that if anybody gives up anything for Zach Wilson, they're crazy.
You know,
the Jets have to cut him.
It's like the Bills bringing back Trubisky. Russell Wilson going to the Steelers. You know, those seats are now being, you know, occupied.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones going to Jacksonville. And there's still a handful of guys out there like Ryan Tannehill. I would think that certain guys, like Justin Fields to me is a starter type guy. If you're trading for him, you're bringing him in. And he's not coming in as a backup. He's coming in to be your starting quarterback. And there's only a handful of teams that kind of fit where he could go. And the Raiders would be one of them because of the offense coordinator going there from Chicago, so he would be familiar with that offense. The other one would be Atlanta, but if Atlanta is deciding on Kirk Cousins, then, you know, there's no way the Bears are trading Justin Fields to the Minnesota Vikings.
No, I would be shocked. I mean, now if they ended up giving some ridiculous deal, that would be something they couldn't pass up, and the Vikings were stupid enough to hand them a bunch of picks that they probably should never give up, then maybe. But no, that's the last thing you want to see is, like, you know, Justin Fields potentially thriving in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, and then maybe them potentially having a dud draft pick, which is probably not going to happen. But if it happened that way and worked out that way, that'd be super embarrassing. It'd be the end of Ryan Pace.
It's hard to find a spot for Justin Fields, because with the trading of Mac Jones, that tells you that New England's taking a quarterback with one of those top three picks.
Yeah.
They are taking a quarterback, so they're going to need a backup as well. I don't know if they go for like a Ryan Tannehill or somebody like that, because right now it's Bailey Zappe, and I'm not even sure who else they have up there.
Do we find out where Saquon goes today? You think that's done? Or you think it's going to drag out a little bit?
With all these running backs that are available,
a lot
right now,
of them, man.
There are. But, man, if you were the Cowboys and you went all in right now for him.
Can they, though, with all the money that they spend on Dak and the offense? And could they go all in? Like, were they going to give him more than $12 million a year?
No, I don't. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's that much, but it's still him going to the Dallas Cowboys, and in an offense that is going to be one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah, certainly it would be very, very enticing for a guy like Saquon.
And I'll tell you right now, if I sit here right now, I would have to say that they are the favorite as we sit here right now in the NFC East. Given all the things that are going on in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I thought you could say the favorite to land Saquon Barkley. That would have been exciting. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that they're the favorite in that division. Kyle in West Haven, Connecticut. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Gio, I actually met you 2 years ago at the opening of the Sportsbook at Mohegan when Gronk was there.
That was a really fun night.
Yeah, I said hi to at Michael Jordan's Steakhouse. You were sitting with us at the bar.
Yes, man, I do. I remember that because that was such a cool night, and Gronk was out of control. It was fun. Tierney was up there too. BT was up there. So was Keith McPherson.
I happen to be a Bucks like since Dungy. So I really enjoyed it. But anyway, reason I called was I actually, and whatever, I don't have an NDA or anything. I think I'm far enough removed from the firm right now. But I worked for the firm that used to have the account for the Oscars. So it goes to a Big Four accounting firm. This is how crazy these people are. Screen Actors Guild hires them. And this whole process is audited as if it's like more, they care about this more than like an actual election. And there's a lot of money put into it. And so I believe, and this isn't like private information or anything, but I believe that the guy was just kind of a dummy and a fanboy. And he was just like drinking and taking selfies backstage and just absentmindedly handed the wrong envelope that year with whoever they were. Yeah, so I believe they ended up losing the account, but it was so funny how proud they were of it because the like that chest or case or whatever with the ballots would travel for like that month leading up to it. They would travel like to the bigger offices and spend a day almost like the Stanley Cup. So you could go take a picture with it in like the New York office, Houston office, LA office for the day. But yeah, anyway, that's my Oscar story because I absolutely don't watch it. It's unwatchable, but at least there's something funny I can say about it.
So. Yeah, no, that's something I would do if I were in charge of that. I'd be back there just talking, not paying attention, drinking, taking selfies, and then handing the wrong envelope and then going, oh crap, I just screwed the entire show up.
Yeah, but you would think that is it the wrong envelope or is it somebody put something in the envelope that was wrong?
No, I think it was they handed them like an envelope for a different award, I think, by mistake.
Okay.
And then they read that movie and then for whatever else.
But it was for the wrong award.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Why
what happened.
Why did they get that thing straightened out now?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, 35 minutes away from our announcement on the next Boomer and Geo event that will be right around the corner. And we actually get to tell you about a special guest ahead of time. A lot of times we have to conceal these things or they're surprise guests, but we've got someone in the fold already that's going to be part of the announcement.
With
so
cheese.
Excited for that.
What's the cheese thing? I don't understand.
This all... Neither do I, actually. This all stemmed from there was one day that Tom Izzo walked in, our digital guy, not Tom Izzo. For people who know the show, they know which Tom Izzo I'm talking about. And he's deep into conspiracies and stuff.
Right.
So he was talking about how the powers that be, the Illuminati, had told everybody that you needed to have everything with cheese. And how they were trying to convince America that they needed cheese. So that's how the with cheese movement started.
It's called government cheese.
Government cheese.
Government cheese, just, you know, a lot of government stuff going on.
Hey, so, hold on. So this is how this started. So we're having this guy, we're all laughing at him, you know? So that same day, we are back there trying to name the show, and you'll find out at 8 o'clock, ended up being with screw it, let's do that.
Okay.
And then there's something that'll be happening during the show that involves cheese.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So there you go.
All with right cheese.
There you go.
The hell is cheese? I work here. I don't get that.
All right, job with your voiceovers, Al.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so you were about to say something else in the
And it was about the thought that you were bringing to the forefront.
Damn.
But I forgot what it was now.
Well, that's too bad.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's how that whole thing came about. And we've got Jerry in here to tell us about some sports.
Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Last night, first you got the tampering period in the NFL beginning today, so dominoes should start to fall, if you will, as agreements will be made. Now, Russell Wilson, who is a free agent already, one-year deal with the Steelers, the Bucks re-signing Baker Mayfield, and Fletcher Cox did announce his retirement, so he goes right after Kelsey announced his retirement last week. Sixers-Knicks last night in the Garden.
Goes inside, the runner is good, and the Knicks are down 9. This equals the largest lead of the game.
It was a close game, not a lot of scoring. Mike Breen on MSG. Sixers beat the Knicks 79-73. If you woke up and read the box score, you would think it was 1995, but that was not the case. A lot of bad three-point shooting in this game for both teams. Kelly Oubre Jr. at 18 points. Paul Reed had 13. Paul Reed. Here was Tom Thibodeau, talks about the shooting, but the team played really hard, just came up short.
Yeah, I mean, the nature of the game was, it was physical, it was tough, it was, you know, so you can't allow that to take away from. I thought our defense was good. I thought the rebounding was good enough.
And just not enough to win the game. Here was Jalen Brunson, pretty much sums it up.
Just one of those nights, but we had a chance to win. And, we just didn't make enough plays in the end, a lot of turnovers. And I got to be better as a player, as a leader, to make sure we're all ready to go. And we weren't.
And the turnover seems to be the biggest theme from all these guys. 19 of them on the night. And yes, the Knicks shot just 9 of 40 from three-point range. Knicks 37-27. The Sixers 36-28. The next team out. They lose to the crappy Grizzlies the other night. They lose again on Saturday. And then they go to Cleveland. I know Cleveland's banged up, but they wind up beating the Cavs.
Nets have the ball out of the timeout. Claxton working in the paint. Bottled up. Back it out. Bridges straight on three. Is good. It rattled around and went in for Mikal Bridges.
So maybe coming out of his funk a little bit. That was Chris Carino on the fan. Mikal Bridges, 25 points. Cam Thomas had 29 as he has continued his comeback from injury. Nets win 121-101 in Cleveland. Cavaliers now 41-23 on the season. Nick Claxton, by the way, a double-double, 16-10. Ohio State beat Rutgers yesterday, 73-51. So you got Rutgers and Maryland in the first round of the Big Ten tournament Wednesday night in Minnesota. Some automatic bids earned. Drake, Stetson, and Longwood. They are in their conference tournaments.
Drake, Stetson, and Longwood, do we know? Do we know their team mascot names?
I know the Hatters are the Stetson.
Stetson Hatters?
Yes.
Okay. Is that because of Mad Dog, right? No, he didn't go to
Rollins College.
Oh, he went to Rollins.
In Orlando.
Ah.
Rollins College.
Okay.
Longwood?
They're
the Cavaliers.
Hold on. I thought you'd know Drake, because I feel like Drake is the long... No, Longwood is not the Cavaliers.
Not the Cavaliers.
It's alliteration, Eddie, if that helps.
For what, Longwood?
Yeah. You don't know it.
I don't.
Longwood Lancers.
Oh, I should have known that.
The Longwood Lancers.
And how about Drake?
Drake basketball.
Dogs.
The Drake Dogs.
They are the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Drake Bulldogs.
Pulled that one out of my ass. Women's college basketball. Iowa played an overtime game, Big Ten championship with Nebraska. Caitlin Clark did not have a good first half, but down late, they made a big comeback and a big win.
Nebraska by one, 87-86. We're under a minute. Here's Clark. Takes a three. Now backs it up. Fires a three. Count it. Left to the top of the key. Was there any doubt?
Yeah, she did not start this game well, and yet she had 34 points when all was said and done and 12 assists. Iowa radio with the call. That was the go-ahead bucket. They win at 94-89. Possibly that could be it in terms of Big Ten competition. We know she is going to turn pro.
If this is my last time playing in a Big Ten game between two Big Ten teams, then what better way to end it all? I mean, you know, you have the overtime. You have the we fight back, bad shooting, good shooting.
And the good shooting is what certainly did it down the stretch, as they will. I imagine they're a one seed. There'll be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Bear with me for a moment, because otherwise I wouldn't do this. First round of the Women's Mountain West Tournament, Boise State beat Utah State 85-something, 85-49, I think it was. Kayla Ard is the head coach at Utah State. Remember you used to have that Carlin clip where he was awkward? Remember they were doing the Jeopardy back in the day, and there was something going on between Boomer and Tracy, or Craig and Tracy, however, or maybe whoever it was. This would fit here when she gets to the podium afterwards.
How do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State. I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in.
Fired.
I'm assuming that's going to be the last question. All right.
Okay.
Thank
that's
you.
All. Thank you, Coach.
Great press conference.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
That'll
Did
be the
she
last
even get on the plane
wow.
with them?
Well, yeah. She's got to go back to her office, get all that's her stuff tough. Out and everything. Yeah.
No one else had a question after that?
It was like, I just got fired.
No, but I know. But like, how'd they tell you? Did he see it come? I don't know. Something?
I don't know.
And this was the championship game and they lost?
No. First round. And they were 5-25.
Oh, well.
Well, whatever.
How the hell did she hang on that long? Jeez.
I don't know. I don't know how long she was there for, but I don't know. To get fired right off the court like that? Usually it's the next day.
I think it was just a matter of timing in terms of, like, let's just get this thing over with as possible.
It is over with. She's gone. Spring training baseball. Get used to this sound, you would think, as the Yankees beat the Braves.
Juan Soto, forget about it. Juan gone. Just put the Yanks ahead. 7-6. Fourth homer this spring.
Juan gone. Juan Soto homers again. A long home run, and the Yankees win fourth of the spring for Soto, who seems to play every day, gets a lot of at-bats, and can't wait for the season to get going. Clark Schmidt gave up four runs, but by all accounts, happy with his performance. Mets lost to the Tigers 3-2. Adrian Hauser, 3 1/3 really good innings as it ended on SNY with Steve Gelbs at the mic.
The 0-2. Strike three on the outside corner. 9 up, 9 down, 5 strikeouts through 3 innings of work for Hauser.
Now, they wound up losing to the Tigers and Wilmer Flores' brother, Wilmer. but Hauser was a story here, and afterwards he says, we just might surprise you guys.
With the additions that have come in and just what was already here, I think we're going to be a really good team. I think we might be under the radar a little bit. People may not expect it, but I think this team has a really good chance to win a lot of ball games.
What's their number, over, under? Going to be in the low 80s, would you say? Mid 80s? What do you think?
Oh, I've seen it. You're talking about the Mets.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that it's 81.5, I think. Now, I think, knowing me, you'd probably guess that I'm going to say under.
You're going to take the under. I would take the over on that.
You're much better at baseball over-unders than me. You seem to get a good one every year, like last year with the Rangers.
I had the Rangers. I did.
Over-under.
Over-under.
MLB. I think it was 81.5. But
only because I think if this team hovers around 500, they'll make moves at the deadline. I really do. I don't think he'll stand pat at that point.
They're definitely, 81.5. They're definitely not going to trade any prospects at the deadline.
I know that.
Though.
I know that. But I do think they'll go out and get help if need be. We shall see. Today you've got a split squad of Yankees playing the Orioles and Phillies at 1 o'clock. And then tonight at 6, Mets and Marlins. The Islanders continue to do what they've been doing lately, and that's win.
There's Gudas awaiting this one, but it won't arrive. Stolen away. Engvall. He's quick. He's in alone, and he scores! Pierre Engvall with a burst of speed, and the Islanders lead 5-1.
And your Islanders are off and running. Six straight wins, six different goal scorers last night. They beat the Ducks 6-1. Bo Horvat, his 26th on the season. Here's Patrick Waugh, their head coach. Your team has not trailed in five of these last six games. It's pretty good.
I mean, these are stats that I don't necessarily pay that much attention. The stats that I want is us, you know, going in the first and then the second and the third and try to win every period and continue to get better. And that's what I appreciate a lot from our group.
Casey Cizikas, Kyle Palmieri, and Brock Nelson scored in the first. Semyon Varlamov, a good night in net. He says we have really done the job.
Every game is an important game for us. So, you know, for the rest of the season, I think we'll only have, 19 games left. So I'm sure there's going to be a battle till the end.
There's a lot of points out there, yes.
Yeah, here's a classic sports talk question. Peaking too early?
No, I don't think so. I think they saved their season what they did. I mean, a bunch of those guys would have been traded had they not gone on this winning streak.
Yeah, I got to keep it up, though, you know?
Of course.
Can't be running out of gas.
Well, they're in Los Angeles tonight against the Kings. You got the Rangers and the Devils tonight as well. And in golf, Scottie Scheffler won at Bay Hill, a five-shot win over Wyndham Clark. Here was his reaction to the victory.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly what to say, but you know, I'm thankful for this week. I'm thankful for how we performed out there, and it was a good week. Can take away a lot of positives from this tournament, and
he was much better with us.
Yeah. Yeah,
much better than that.
We tried to drag it out of him.
Yeah,
we
gave him a birthday cake and everything.
Yes.
Did you? I'm sure you watched you're caught up on the full swing.
Not well. I've seen three and a half episodes.
Okay, I ended up finishing all eight of them.
Oh,
so
wow.
Then I'll wait until you watch the rest. But there's one in there that's. I had a question for you, but I can't ask you the question. Well, I guess I could.
Well, go ahead.
Have you seen Matt Fitzpatrick's fiance yet?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen her. Yeah.
If he wasn't a golfer worth millions of dollars, is that his fiance?
No. I mean, I've said this before during Ryder Cup time. I mean, that whole Ryder Cup team is ugly. The European one, Shane Lowry, Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt Fitzpatrick is, yeah. And his brother,
Alex,
he's a good-looking guy, not nearly as good as Matt. But, yeah, Matt's just, he's got that classic, like, English sort of.
Look at the face he's
making. Just like, you know,
teeth all over. I mean, the place.
But it's true. And then there she is, like blonde, cut out of a catalog. You know, I want to talk about leech spot.
Is he leeching off of her, or is she leeching off of him?
Dual leech spot.
It's a dual leech spot.
Yes. Well, there is the one on his brother coming up that you haven't watched yet. And all I'll say is...
No, I have seen that one.
Oh, that was one of the early ones?
Yeah.
I thought that was like episode five or six.
No, I saw that one.
That one, they started, I'm like, I don't want to watch this. Turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. So.
Yeah, he ended up playing well at the Open, right?
Beat his brother, played very top 20, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick. You see that? When he was putting on the sunscreen, did you see that? But yet, I'd trade places with him right now.
Yes, you would.
I would look like that in a heartbeat. That is like. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network. Quick break. We'll come right back. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. About 13 minutes from now, an announcement concerning our next big Boomer and Geo event that will be coming up in the spring. So excited to tell you about that, where it is, when it is, how you can be a part of it, all of that good stuff coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I need someone to sit me down and explain to me the monetary side of YouTube, because Shannon Sharp said something. Now, I should probably know more about this, but I haven't done enough research, but I am fascinated in this. But Shannon Sharp implied that interview that he did with Cat Williams, that was on Club Shay Shay. That wasn't with him and Chad Johnson. That was his other podcast on YouTube. Where, do you remember the Cat Williams interview where he trashed like everybody in Hollywood?
Yes, yes.
And it was just in a way that was so unbelievably entertaining in the way that he spoke about it. So that had more than 60 million views on YouTube. All right, that interview, that he was able to make $6 million in ad revenue
from that. And that, to me, is nuts. The fact that that one interview could make him $6 million on a digital platform. So, I mean, does that make sense to you? Not make sense to you? Because I'm still trying to figure out how all of this works. Like, I see these guys, I talk about the YouTube golf guys all the time, and obviously they're doing well. I mean, I feel like all those guys with the views that they get and the sponsorships that they get, they're doing well. But yeah, $6 million from one interview?
Yes, I would think that there's some sort of algorithm that is associated with that that would be he is now considered an influencer. And I'll tell you what, you can say whatever you want. When he went with Skip Bayless, I was like, I didn't know if that was going to work. You know, and it did work for a while.
Skip.
But where it really did work is when they split and Shannon became like so popular because of the anti-Skip stuff.
That's right.
And when he left and he went out on his own and started doing all this other stuff and showed up at ESPN and everything else, I give that guy a lot of credit for, you know, creating another opportunity for himself and doing well at it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have one very popular podcast. He's got two very popular podcasts, and he's on ESPN as well.
See, what I see there is the guy that I work with at the NFL Today for, I think, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And the behind-the-scenes Shannon is hilarious. I mean, even James Brown would be like, we would sit there and just say the amount of knowledge that he has on so many different aspects of pop culture and sports and he used to say, I guess he and his brother grew up with his grandmother, and they used to eat squirrel, and the stories that he used to tell, and, you know, we made fun of his college. We said he went to a strip mall college, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, just the funny stuff that would come out of his mouth, like, off the air.
Yeah.
Like, when he was being serious and talking about football, was fine. But the stuff behind the scenes, like, he just has this knack for being incredibly funny.
And he's been that way since his playing career, and he has parlayed that into an entertainment career now where he is absolutely killing it, and he's one of the best to ever play at his position too. So
it's his delivery, it's his speech patterns, yeah. It's the way he goes about things, you know, when he could really be himself, which is what he is, that's what's making him uber successful and a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, and Cat Williams, it was really Cat Williams that made that interview, obviously, because if Cat Williams just went on there and just did comedy or joked around, I mean, he trashed everybody, like exposed all of Hollywood. I mean, that's why, you know, he ended up getting as many views. But the fact that Shannon had him on, knew he was going to say that, asked the right questions, you know, I mean, and that was huge, absolutely huge for him. And he's got one guy that's coming after. I think Mike Epps, the comedian, has been coming after Shannon now for that interview. And now it's like that has become a thing.
Well, that'll become a thing, and he'll make it into a thing. And
they're beefing.
And, yeah, they'd be beefing. That's exactly right. But I don't know. All I can tell you is that just being around him for all those years, I had never met anybody that just kind of knew everything, like about TV and the history of TV and TV shows. And he would remember lines of movies, lines of TV shows, and he is really. Yeah, I know he doesn't come off that way just because of his speech patterns and everything, but he's an incredibly knowledgeable guy about pop culture and things that you or I would like never have an idea about. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. Ron in Clearmont, what's going on, Ron?
Hey. Good morning, Gio. How are you?
What's up, Ron? I'm great. How are you this morning?
Oh, okay, good. Earlier this morning, you touched on the Jets. Mm-hmm. And my question is, during last year's season, which turned into a disaster, Woody said that we were going to have a competent number two for this year. But so far, there's nothing but crickets.
I mean, free agency hasn't started yet. I mean, that, you know, that's a big part of it. I know that there've been some trades made, but, you know, not everybody's available before free agency starts. Like the Russell Wilson thing was, you know, they cut him, they let him go. So that was a different story, but it's not too late for them to bring somebody in. It's actually still very early.
No, I'm not saying it's too late. I'm saying that, like, there's no talk about it. Like, Boomer said that the offensive line, and he's 100% right. He's 100% correct, especially when you're coming back with Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years old, coming off an Achilles. I mean, to me, that would be like, you know, let's get going.
Well, yeah, well, you'll start hearing that stuff. I'm telling you, very shortly, you're going to start hearing a lot of different things like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like a Ryan Tannehill is a guy that, you know, could be on the Jets roster. There's no way that Russell Wilson was going to come here.
And what about Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, Gardner Minshew, too. He's another one. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the kind of guy I think that Woody's looking for. Like, if you took what Woody said when he was out there at the Super Bowl, and he talked about how we didn't have a quarterback, we didn't have a backup. You know, right. He's talking directly about Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle. And we weren't ready to, you know, react the way we needed to react. And that's why I said what I said about, you know, everybody's job is on the line. If you just go back to the Super Bowl and listen to what Woody Johnson said at the Super Bowl about his team and about what he expects from this year, that's why I said everybody's job's on the line over there. It is. That's the reality of the business. The owner is unhappy. The owner is getting impatient. And the owner is hearing it, believe me, from his inner circle. You know, this is a guy, you know, that just stood up behind Donald Trump. And, you know, he was the ambassador to Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wants to win. He does not want to lose. He wants to be looked at as a winning owner in the NFL. And unfortunately, that has not been the case since Rex Ryan left.
Well, there's a few names out there that would make sense for the Jets. You mentioned one of them, Ryan Tannehill. Jacoby Brissett is another one. I know he gets hurt all the time, but obviously we know he can play. And Tyrod Taylor, maybe he comes over from the Giants. You got Marcus Mariota available. Gardner Minshew, as we mentioned. You think that Joe Flacco will probably go back to the Browns.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up going back to the Browns, which that is going to be really interesting because now they just traded for Jerry Jeudy. I would say an average wide receiver. I wouldn't say that he's lived up to his billing. I would say he's good. But now you add another wide receiver to that room out there in Cleveland, and Joe Flacco proved that, you know, they could win throwing the ball down the field.
Yes.
And if Deshaun Watson can't do that, you're looking at the second worst trade in the history of the NFL.
All right, coming up next, big Boomer and Geo event announcement just a few minutes away. Boomer's got something for you in a Sports Minute. We'll come right back right after this.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.